So that's an interesting question. Somebody wanted to know if it was a bound salad or a brown salad.
Yeah, and it was definitely a bound salad.
But they heard the ad and they got in touch with you.
Yeah, and I got an email. And he was wondering, is it a bound? It just said bound salad, brown salad. That's all the email said, question marks.
Or was he saying it's a bound brown?
No.
Is there a bound brown salad?
Well, yeah. That's something entirely different.
Would you eat a bound brown?
No.
I think you pronounced it right. I mean, I don't think... Do you think the pronunciation was off?
No, because he said bound or yes. brown. So he heard it. He was just clarifying.
Bound or brown?
Yeah.
I think if I had to choose between the two...
You're choosing bound.
Yeah, a brown salad or a bound salad. Maybe that's what he was asking.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we should make that the new poll question.
Yep, post it up.
I think probably 100% are going to go for bound salad.
I would sure hope so.
My friend Gaynor Johnson, founder of the Cantonaria Sidewalk Chalk Festival, shared some advice with me in a letter that said, if you want to put on a sidewalk chalk festival, don't wait until you're 74 years old.
That's good advice.
Yeah. Any feedback for Gaynor?
Well, but here's my thing. You also hear people say things like, you know, Colonel Sanders didn't start KFC until he was well into his 60s. So I don't know. If you're feeling inspired and you've got some gas left in the tank, doesn't matter how old you are. Grab the chalk. Start chalking.
I think what Gaynor might have been responding to, and I'd have to double check with him, but it might just be that his knees have some arthritis in them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's maybe some mobility things, but could you get a cushion or a little stool? A
knee pad.
Yeah, knee pad.
Because chalk fest, like sidewalk chalk, I mean, you got to get down there. You got to bend the knees.
Stop talking, start chalking.
Today, for the first time ever, we offered a medium roast coffee option in the Fresh Produce kitchen.
I noticed that when I walked in this morning. That was a first. Did you do that?
No. How concerned are you about this?
I wasn't at all. In fact, I found it. I kind of was delighted by it. There were two little post-it notes in front of the two carafes. One said dark roast. One said medium roast.
And so you took the medium.
I took the dark roast.
Welcome to our computer radio program, the Differentiated Business Podcast with Michael J. Hart IV and Theodore J. Heron I. Something our listeners already know about the program. This is a results-driven show.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we're a results-driven show.
Results. They know it.
We've talked about how this is a results-oriented program. When given the choice between joining a softball team with Crick Jumpers as a mascot and Creek Swimmers, I said 100 out of 100 would choose Crick Jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we later changed that. What did we change it to?
Well, you wanted to take the over-under, and I said...
On 83.
I said 83 would be... Crick Jumpers, but there's probably 17 that would be Creek Swimmers.
And I took the over.
Yep.
Out of 45 responders.
Okay, so 45.
35 selected Crick Jumpers.
Mm.
10 Creek Swimmers. That's a little more than 77%. How shocked are you by the results?
Well, no, I'm not. This is the quantitative data, and people have come to rely on the data here on our worldwide computer radio program. But what about the qualitative results? What things did people say? Were there any anecdotes? Were there like people like, well, but if it was this, then I'd say yes.
Well, I think the word crick.
Oh, it was polarizing.
I mean, I think that was the challenge. I think if we would have said creek jumpers... 100 out of 100.
Like Creek Jumpers versus Creek Swimmers?
Yeah. But it was Crick Jumpers.
Yeah.
And people did question, the word Crick versus Creek. And I said, well, that's not what this is about.
Yeah. And clearly they've never heard the old Norwegian, fable and folktale and adage that you jump a creek and you swim in a creek.
Yeah. What do you mean, I would say, we're going to change it to Creek Jumpers? But you don't jump a creek.
No.
What do you mean by
that? It's impossible to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised. I am surprised I am surprised that you picked 100. That wasn't a great bet to take.
We also promised some Sioux Empire Fair arts competition results. You recently entered the Sioux Empire Fair Arts Center contest.
I did. Two different haikus.
Yeah, tell us about your poems.
Well, one of them, so this is how it works. Erin Murtha in our office, she takes delightful photos throughout the year of different things that she finds interesting. Oftentimes art or art installations, things that she's made, found items. Well, she gave me a stack of maybe five or six photos. And then I pick photos that I find interesting, and then I write a quick haiku around that photo.
What is it about haiku that gets you so excited?
Well, I like the math of it, the 575.
It's not about art for you.
I like the constraint. The constraint is fun.
It's not about the arts. It's not about the creative expression. It's about the math for you.
No.
Well, this is a results-driven show.
I like the creative constraint, and I create something. The result is something that's inspired by that photo within the creative constraint.
What I heard was that you like the haiku because of the math, which doesn't surprise me because this is a results-driven computer radio program.
Yeah. Yeah. So I submitted two.
Would you like to read the poems?
I'd like to. So the first photo that she sent me was her in an art installation that she clearly had created, where it was all textiles of her at like a pizza joint eating a textile piece of pizza. But she's sitting alone in this little booth, two-person booth, and it says, "A lonely dinner, one woman and a pizza. She has good posture."
So why don't you read the next one, and then maybe I'll give you my feedback.
The other one, there's like a little gazebo, and these are all like miniatures. There's like a mini gazebo, and inside it looks like maybe a little bust of Beethoven by a little tiny piano. And then outside, there were like nine other composers and their busts, and they're all kind of looking. And it says, "One looks at the nine. Nine listen, but do not care. The jury is out."
How did the judges receive the haiku?
Consistent feedback from both of them. The first one was, "I think it would be better if you had a title."
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know all the rules around haikus, because these were haikus.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't aware that you had to title a haiku. I didn't know that. But both of them said, "I think this would benefit from a title."
Yeah.
They also said, you know, maybe a little bit more, you know, formatting. Because I just quickly hand wrote it on a piece of paper, kind of cut it out and stuck it to the photo that inspired it.
So they were questioning your professionalism here.
Yeah. It's probably the difference between a blue ribbon and a red ribbon, to be honest.
This is professionalism. This is presentation.
You're right. I'm going to do that next year, and we're going to see if I can go from red to blue.
It doesn't surprise me, though, that presentation isn't that important to you, because you really value the haiku for the math.
Yeah, the results.
It's a results-driven...
Yep. And it...
Computer radio
even
program.
Without the presentation, some of the frills, it still did the job, and it still earned a ribbon. I took the dark rose.